Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes in my
You are tuned into Healing for the Nations with your host, modern day Samaritan woman, Laura Lee. Laura Lee is a no-nonsense warrior who is a credentialed substance abuse counselor with a degree in counseling. Understanding the hard issues in our lives, she herself is a trauma survivor and former addict, recovering in the image of our Messiah. It's time to apply the soothing balm of the Word to our hearts as Laura Lee brings us Healing for the Nations.
Woman at the well. I come to the well in the heat of the day, alone, to avoid the snares and the gossiping, wagging tongues that cut into my already broken heart. I avoid the painful ignorance and the lack of loving care. Shame, it is my only covering. My men, they've all thrown me away for those that are younger and prettier than I. The shattered pieces of my life lay scattered all around me, leaving a trail of tears. Desperate to be loved, shattered and scattered is my soul. And then he, the Messiah, he came to meet me at the well, and he told me all about myself. He didn't shame me. He didn't blame me. He didn't chastise me. He offered me forgiveness, acceptance, and he healed me and delivered me. He fulfills all my hopes of an abiding, undying love that will never end. Hey, everybody. This is a modern-day Samaritan woman bringing to you Healing for the Nations. I welcome everybody, and for those of you that are regular listeners to this program, I am sure that you've noticed that the last few weeks, some old shows have aired talking about narcissism and complex post-traumatic stress. And so this week, we are going to continue on with the 12 steps. And I'm going to be doing a little bit of a personal testimony that has been happening in my life of late. And so that will explain to you why some past shows have been airing rather than fresh new shows. So for those of you that are new to the show, we talk about recovery issues here, whether it's addictions of all sorts, whether it's domestic abuse, sexual abuse, so on and so forth. And in this show, I use the 12 steps of recovery and also the first 8 books of Nehemiah. That is our template. That is what we use in this journey towards the heart of our Father. These are the tools that can assist the bride of the Messiah in order to prepare her wedding dress. So the first 3 steps, I'm going to share that, and I'm going to invite the listener at your own leisure to prayerfully read the first 8 chapters of the book of Nehemiah and ask the Father to open your eyes that you may see the principles of recovery, because it's a great roadmap to recovering the image of the Messiah within us. So step 1 is, we admitted that we are powerless over our addictions, over our problems, that our lives have become unmanageable. Step 2, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Or some renditions of the 12 steps talks about giving us clarity so we can see clearly. And step 3 is we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, which takes trusting the Father. And like I have said in past shows, some that are listening may have had a father that was not a trustworthy person, or maybe your relationship with your father has been such that it did not empower you to trust the Heavenly Father. These wounds need to be healed. These wounds need to be looked at, recognized, and healed. We are coming into times, brothers and sisters, where we need to Shammai Israel, we need to be able to hear and trust the Father. We need to hear his voice clearly. We need to recognize his voice. We need to be able to trust him enough to obey. We need to know what his word says so that we can obey his instructions rather than our flesh. And I'm going to share with you some recent experiences that has really tried my ability to hear his voice and to obey his Torah, his instructions, rather than the advice that I was hearing from human beings. So I want to share with you a story of a miracle. We are going into a very difficult time. We just came through Thanksgiving, which can be a challenge to people. It can be a time that's very lonely for people. It can be a very stressful time or a joyous time, depending on many different factors and variables in one's life. It can also, like I said, it can be a very lonely, dark time. And so I was given a turkey with all the trimmings. And for those of you on a tight budget like I am, I'm sure that that would be like an incredible blessing. And it was a blessing. I do have a guest who is visiting. She is not from this country. And so she found herself in a situation. And so I invited her here to give her a safe place that she can just be safe. And while the father worked the details out of her life. So things have been stressful. Things have been difficult as I tried to gain clarity in how to help my sister. I reached out to other human beings. And so the more I reached out to other human beings, the more chaotic things were getting. So in the meantime, I have this turkey and all the trimmings. So I took great care to prepare the turkey, and I put them in the oven to roast. And I roasted them for a few hours, and prepared the rest of the meal, and I went to carve Mr. Tom Turkey, and I was appalled that I could not find any meat on the bird. So I flipped the bird over thinking, well, maybe I just have the bird upside down because I'm really not that great of a cook. So, you know, that's something that I would do. So I found out that no, I put him in the pan, the roasting pan, correctly. So I kept jabbing the turkey with a knife, trying to find enough meat to carve off for a meal, to no avail. So my guest, she also took the knife and she also stabbed all around this big turkey. And she managed to get a few pieces of turkey off this big bird. So the following day, I decided that I was going to put the turkey's carcass in this big soup pot, and I was going to attempt to make a Shabbat meal out of this turkey. So I put him in the pot and I simmered him for hours. And while he was simmering, I decided that I was going to listen to a Bible study by a hip hop artist by the name of Jeremiah Dirt. So Jeremiah was talking about how Thanksgiving could be a lonely time, and he was just bringing up scripture after scripture, and he was talking from his heart, some of his own struggles, his own life experiences, and he was really encouraging people. And I've never heard this brother's Bible study before, and I was so blessed. And I want to add that I did put my hands over the pot, and I prayed over this pathetic turkey. And so the word of the Lord was going forth with prayer. And my guest came out to the kitchen as I was taking the carcass out of the pot. And I was trying to find meat to put into a soup. And her and I were both shocked that I kept dipping into this big pot and pulling out chunks of turkey meat. We were both shocked. And she looked at me and she said, it's a miracle. It's like the woman in 2 Kings, the poor widow with the oil. And the next day we went to the synagogue. And by the way, the soup was the best turkey soup I've ever made. It was so rich and so incredibly delicious that we had a beautiful Shabbat meal. It was wonderful. So the next day we went to the Messianic congregation, and the rabbi invited people to share what they're grateful for. So my guest gave me an elbow and asked me if I was going to share the miracle of the skinny turkey. So I got up in front of the congregation and I told this story about the skinny turkey and the miracle of all the meat that came out of this pot that I simmered his carcass in. So one of the sisters at the synagogue, once again, she brought up the woman with the oil, and as did my mother when I shared the story. So I'm going to share with you, this story is in 2 Kings, and I'm going to read the scriptures here. 2 Kings chapter 4. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Well, we had plenty of turkey left over to eat. And so I read out of the Life Recovery Bible. And the comment in this Bible on this particular passage says, "People willing to pursue recovery can count on the fact that when they are at the end of their rope, God is holding on to them. He is the God of limitless resources, who can provide incredibly when we are in need. As was true with the widow and her sons, God sometimes wants to act until the last minute. God sometimes waits to act until the last minute in order to stretch our faith. Then, when he comes through, our faith in his power is strengthened for the battles ahead." Now I'm going to share with you a little bit more about what has been going on in my home recently. Like I said, I have a guest and she's from out of the country. I'm not going to give all the details. It doesn't matter. But the lessons that her and I both have been learning are about trusting him, listening to his voice, and shutting off other voices. Because the more we turn to human beings, the more chaos and confusion came into the situation. And I must say that I am pretty appalled with the feedback that I was getting from people who I thought were godly people. People telling me to throw her out on the streets, her and her cat. Cold, heartless advice. So I was on my knees petitioning the God of heaven, the God of mercy, the God who is for the foreigner, the God who is for the widows and the orphans. You see, brothers and sisters, we are commissioned, we are commanded in the Torah, in the scriptures, to take care of the widow and the orphan. We are to open our homes to those in need. We are to bless those that are in need. So, my dear sister and I, every day we prayed, and every day the Father gave us a word of hope, of encouragement. One of the main words that he kept bringing to both her and I is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, if I had listened to human beings, that would have brought her great harm. How could anybody who professes to be a follower of Yahweh throw someone and their cat out on the street in the cold? Or another person said, take her to the Salvation Army and leave her there. Really? Really? Is that the answer? Or is it to share my bread with a woman in need? Is it to share my home? Because everything that I've been blessed with does not belong to me. My life belongs to the Creator. This is a daughter of the Most High God, and this is the way you would treat a daughter of the King? To throw her and her cat out into the cold? I live in New York. It's freezing cold out. Is there any way to treat a guest? I must admit that at first I didn't know whether to believe her story because the language barrier, the culture barrier, I was questioning whether I was understanding correctly, and it was a struggle. I must admit, it was a struggle to believe in the story that she was sharing because it sounded more like a Hollywood script. But brothers and sisters, if we pick up the Bible, the scriptures, and we read about some of the things that transpired in the Word, you know, they thought Yeshua was crazy. The prophets of old, some of the things that they were instructed to do looked really crazy. And so people were chiding me for inviting a stranger into my home, that I should not have ever invited the woman into my home, not knowing her. But yet I go by what the Word says, and I go by my training as an advocate. And from my own personal experience, my own story, when I've shared with the wrong people, they like to start victim blaming. That's called re-victimizing, re-traumatizing. So this woman has gone through a lot. For me to throw her out on the street would re-traumatize her and her precious animal, her cat. Yeshua loves animals. He's the one that created all the animals. So my training is that you believe the woman's story until there's evidence contrary to what she is telling you. And I can tell you this, brothers and sisters, I have through the years heard horrendous true stories about women of God who were abused by rabbis, by pastors, by ministers, by reverends, by supposedly men of God, and they were not believed, and they were mistreated, harmed, re-victimized, re-traumatized. And this is the reason why I'm a strong proponent of education, because there are things going on in the body of the Messiah that needs to stop. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That knowledge is not just the Torah, but their knowledge is how the Creator designed a woman to operate, how narcissists operate, the domestic abuse that's going on in the home, the various addictions that are happening within the body. There is much, much ignorance that needs to be overcome. And I appreciate people like Jeremiah Dirt that come on and do a Bible study. Humbled. He's a humble man with many talents and with many gifts. But he comes to share the word, and he comes to share his heart, and he comes to share his own struggles with mental health issues and so on and so forth. I'm not going to get into Jeremiah's story because it's, you know, it's not for me to unpack his business. All I can say is that he is an incredible man of God. Many of us struggle with many challenges, and it takes a lot of courage to open up and to share whether you've been addicted to pornography, to sex, whatever the addiction is, and how it impacted your life, how it impacted other people's lives, how it impacted your marriage. We're all human. We're all broken. It's a we program. It is a we program. And instead of throwing this woman out into the street, out into the cold, or driving her to some shelter where it could very well be dangerous to her because she's already in a vulnerable place, to drop her off like that is cold-hearted. And I am not going to do to another person what has been done to me. Re-victimize, re-traumatize. We all have a story. We all have a story. We all are in the same boat. We all need the grace and the mercy and the compassion of our Creator. Father Yahweh, I lift up to you those that are listening to my voice. Father, forgive us for the ways that we have not loved our neighbor as we love ourselves. Father, I ask in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach that you would change our hearts, that we would have a heart for your word, that we would have a heart filled with compassion, that we would be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we would hear your voice instructing us what your will is. Give us wisdom and how to help others that are struggling through life, because we are all on this journey to the heart of the Father, and we cannot do this alone. We need community, a safe community that will love us, that will protect us, that will provide for our needs. Whether that is a place to be sheltered, a cup of cold water, a meal, some money to buy things that needed, whatever that is, we need to have a heart of generosity. We need to have a heart of love. In the second half, we're going to start looking at the miracle of Hanukkah. We'll be right back after the break. Shalom.
But just say that we don't wanna fight no more. Now we Your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today.
Faithful you have been, faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty for ashes. For you will have your bride, free of all her guilt, rid of all her shame, and known by her true name. And that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
And your love is devoted, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. And your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercies for today.
Welcome back. This is a modern day Samaritan woman bringing to you healing for the nations. I would like to open with prayer for this half of the show. Father Yahweh, we thank you. We come to you in the mighty name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you for the Messiah. We thank you for the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, we ask for a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that as your word goes forth, that many people will be blessed. Father, you know each and every listener and what they're wrestling with. You know the words they need to hear. You know the encouragement they need to hear. So, Father, may it be your voice and not mine that your children hear. We thank you and we praise you that we are entering into a season of a time of rededication, rededicating our lives to you. Father, may our eyes be upon the light of the world, which is the Messiah. Father, we thank you for the miracle of the Maccabees, the oil that never ran out. Father, may this word be anointed. May this voice that you have given to me be like streams in the desert. For you know your children. You know who is wrestling with not having enough. So that may they be blessed with a message of the oil that never ran out. We ask it all in the name of Yeshua. May you be lifted up and may you be glorified. Amen and amen. So I'm going to talk in this half about the miracle of a widow's oil well. I'm going to be drawing from an article I found by Ask Otis. And in this article, it talks about Elisha being Elijah's student. Elisha was the prophet who succeeded Elijah. And in this particular article, he lists all the miracles, all the things that Elisha and Elijah went through. But I want to share a section of this article. And he writes, I would like to draw your attention to miracle number 6 listed above, the miraculous flow of oil for a widow. This was a widow's oil well from God. These were perilous times, and women had little, if any, in the way of human rights in ancient times. There was no such thing as social security, so a woman, widowed or single, were dependent on their family or extended family for support. The widowed woman apparently had no family. Her husband had died and her children were obviously not old enough to be able to support her. Making matters worse, she was in debt to a creditor and unable to pay her debts. As a result, and lawful for the times, her two children would be forfeited as slaves to pay off the debt until the Sabbath year. Deuteronomy 15:1. Her life had been reduced to her two children and a jar of oil, and she was about to lose her children, so she cried out to Elisha. The Bible mentions both Elijah and Elisha having visited fellowships, schools, or groups for religious learning in Israel. They were attended by groups of men called the sons of the prophets. 1 Samuel 19:20, 1 Kings 20:35, 2 Kings 4:1. There was a man named Obadiah who had hidden 100 of these prophets in 2 caves. It is believed that this was the widow's husband who had died. He must have incurred his debt hiding and feeding this multitude of men on the run from the evil, murderous Jezebel. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. 1 Kings 18:4. Two widows. This widow was not alone in her misery. There were many widows throughout the land. The lands were still trying to recover from war, famine, and drought. All of these combined took a toll on the people. Yeshua himself even made reference to the many widows, and even referenced Elisha's mentor Elijah being sent to a different widow from Zarephath in the region of Sidon. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath, in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Luke 4:25-26. The widow that Jesus, Yeshua, was talking about was a widow that Elijah helped during this drought. Elijah challenged a widow to an act of obedience, and as she complied, the widow in Elijah's miracle was provided with what she needed while she stayed in obedience. This miracle had a set limit, that limit being until it rained. 1 Kings 17:7-16.
Elisha rewarded a widow's faith to ask with abundance. In fact, the only limit placed upon what she received was what she was able to contain. In this miracle, the only limit placed was the one the widow placed upon herself, shown by the size and the amount of vessels collected. The amount of vessels she collected determined the magnitude with which she was blessed. Hasatan's perversion. Hasatan does not care whether you believe in the miraculous. He does not care if you read your Bible. He does not care if you believe the miraculous blessings that you read in your Bible. Hasatan only fears that when you step out in your faith, when you begin walking in the covenant blessings of miracles you know as truth coming alive in your life. Hasatan trembles when your faith meets the living word of truth, guiding your steps into the deeds which brings miraculous anointing in your life to your works. James 2:14-26. In the previous half of the show, I read the story in 2 Kings 4. And the article here says this verse shows us that the widow had already emptied her house of all that was of value. She seemingly had nothing of value left trying to pay her debt. It also shows us that God can use the least of the things to work miracles in our lives. In this verse, the jar is a small vessel of oil. Olive oil was used almost every day by everyone. It was expensive because it was time-consuming to make. One average olive tree can yield about 10 gallons of oil a year. Olive oil during Elisha's time served as both as a luxury and as a necessity. The olives were sometimes beaten, Leviticus 24:2, sometimes trodden, Micah 6:15, but generally crushed in a mill designed for the purpose of extracting the costly oil. Olive oil had many varied uses. It was used for lighting, medicinal purposes, cooking, and even for cosmetics and soaps. In the tabernacle, pure olive oil was used in the golden lampstand. Olive oil was a Neosporin of its time. Cuts and scrapes were treated with olive oil to aid in the healing process. Priests, prophets, and kings were anointed with the finest of olive oils. Queens used it like modern hand lotion on their skin. The woman apparently was in good standing with her neighbors. The neighbors trusted her with their property. It also shows us that the Lord will involve others in the miracle of our blessings. Everyone around the widow was affected by a widow's oil well from the Lord. Elisha was trying to make the widow understand the magnitude of the blessing she was about to receive. He was effectively telling her to think big and get as much of whatever, wherever she could find it to hold the oil. The word vessels in Hebrew, Strong's H7386, transliterated Rick, I'm probably butchering that, R-E-Y-Q, means empty, idle, worthless, vain. Elisha was saying use even the remnant and worthless discarded vessels. Use everything that you can. This shows us just how the Lord can use us. The only requirement is that it must be empty to be filled. You must first empty yourself of all sin, doubts, self, filth, and disobedience. Empty yourself, confess, and repent, so that you can clean yourself, made clean with the obedience and preparation, sanctified for your miracle blessings. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. Here we learn that we are to shut out the world and make our prayers and supplications known to the Lord with respect, humility, and reverence in private. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Matthew 6, 1. Let us view this from the widow's perspective. Here in her hand is a little flask of olive oil. As she steps out in faith and begins to pour out the oil, she realizes that it is giving out more oil than the vessel can hold. We learn that if we continue to empty ourselves and pass on the love and salvation miracle of the Messiah, God will continue to refill and supply our needs to be a blessing to others for God's glory. You can become a powerful witness operating in kingdom dynamics. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Instead of running out of the oil, the woman ran out of containers. It is amazing to understand that your blessings are only limited by yourself. God will continue to supply as long as you continue to believe. You determine the magnitude of your miracles, how much of God your earthen vessel can contain. You decide how much of your mind, will, and emotions are vested in the work of the Lord. Only your disobedience and sin can cease the flow of God's oil. Alas, we find that the widow must have had a great deal of faith. I can imagine a house full of containers. Containers everywhere, on the window sills, all over the floor, on the tables, and even on the beds. Just think about when the widow went to the man to pay her husband's debt. The man would ask, "Where did you get all this money?" The widow was given an awesome opportunity to share how God provided in such a miraculous way. Just think about the sons as they were returning the containers, vessels, pots, and jars to all those who believed alongside with them. Neighbors intently waiting on news of Elisha's visit, and their own vessel was of use of the Lord. I can almost hear the praises of glory as they all thanked the Lord for his miraculous provisions. Not only was she able to pay off her debt, she and her sons were obviously set up in the business of selling oil. This provided them an income that they could live on. Will you believe? Will you believe like the widow's oil well? Will you obey the commands of the Lord? Will you allow God to supply all of your needs? For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Ephesians 3:14-21. Will you be a clean and empty vessel for the Messiah? So I shared the story of the skinny turkey, how I was blessed with a turkey and the trimmings, and how on Thanksgiving Day, after I roasted this turkey very carefully for hours, I was appalled that there was no turkey meat on this bird. But the next day, the Lord provided a mound of turkey meat. When I prayed over this turkey carcass and the word of the Lord was being proclaimed by Jeremiah Dirt in a Bible study, this skinny chicken with no meat on it supplied a vast amount of turkey meat for Shabbat meal for my guest, who everybody was advising me to throw out into the cold or take her to a shelter. Her native tongue is not English. She's a woman, alone, vulnerable, with a cat. And I cried out, as she did, to the Most High God for direction, for protection, for His will to be done. I chose to go against human reasoning. I chose to go against human counsel. I chose to turn to the Word of the Most High God. I wrestled with my human flesh. I wrestled with my human plans. I wrestled, just like Jacob wrestled with the messenger, with the angel, who was Yeshua. And just like the Maccabees, who chose to be obedient, just like our forefathers and our foremothers before us, chose to do the right thing, chose to be obedient to the Word and not to the flesh. The story hasn't ended yet, but my God will supply our every need. He's already working things out for my good, and He's already supplied for us, for my guest and I. And I am excited to see how the story will end, because He has promised in His Word, in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." I don't know who's listening to this, but I pray that this message has blessed you, that it's filled you with hope. And I know that life can be very chaotic and it can be confusing. And sometimes in recovery, we need to stay in the moment. We need to stay in the day, and we need to do the next right thing. And sometimes it goes directly against what our human flesh is telling us to do. And this is why it's so very imperative that we pray without ceasing and we look to the Word for wise counsel. Our next program, we will continue to talk about Hanukkah. We will continue to talk about oil in our lamp, being a light in a dark world. Until next time, I bid you shalom.